in a time where many Christians are depressed, discouraged, and despondent, God birthed a workshop entitled The Dreamers Summit. The Dreamers Summit was designed to encourage, uplift, and inspire its attendees to not give up on their God-given dream, but to press through until they receive God's blessing. This session features a fun yet powerful interactive format that's designed to help you throw away all the excuses that have previously held you back so you can decide to move vigorously toward the life of your dreams. Won't you join us? In the next few moments, you'll hear 4 steps, 4 principles that will help you resurrect the dream that God has put in your spirit. You'll learn how to surrender that dream to God so He can give you His best dream for you. You'll learn how to obey every single thing that He tells you to do so that you can have good success. You'll learn what it means to make an investment in the dream that God has given you. And last, you'll learn how to leverage the support of people that God has placed around you. And when you put that all together, you'll find out that every dream needs rich soil to grow.
What do you think stops most dreamers from living their dreams? What stops most dreamers? Anybody?
Fear of failure.
Fear of failure. Okay. Yes. Money. Yes, money. Okay, anybody else?
I would say lack of resources.
Yes, lack of resources. Because resources is not always money. It's different things. Anybody else?
Lack of support.
Lack of support. Yes, money, support, fear. Anybody else? Yes.
Lack of know-how.
God, I'm going to do this. You told me to do something. What? Okay, so those are a lot of things that stop dreamers from living their dreams, but I don't think it's the number one thing. And I often tell this story of when I was on my first cruise to the Caribbean, and I couldn't believe that I was in my mid-30s before I'd ever taken a cruise. And if you can imagine with me, I was sitting on the top deck of the ship on this old white wooden plank, and I had this pen and pad because I'm a writer by nature, and we were pulling up into the port of Nassau. And I'm sitting there looking at these beautiful palm trees. I'm looking at this just crystal blue water that I can see all the way down to the bottom. And I am in awe because I've never seen anything quite this beautiful before. And then I realize that I'm crying. Okay, no, I take that back. I am weeping. You know, the kind of weeping when your shoulders are moving. And so I'm thinking to myself, what the what? What? I have never seen anything this beautiful before. Why in the world am I crying? And I realized I was crying for 2 things. I cried because I didn't know if my family would ever get to see anything as beautiful as this. And then I cried because it made me realize or think about all the beauty that God had put over the face of this planet that I hadn't seen yet. It's like, well, if this is here, what could be around the next spin, around the next corner? What am I missing because I am not doing anything? And so on the deck of that ship, God whispered in my spirit and He told me, you're not living. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, Jesus, I've been saved since I was 12 working for you, Jesus. You know, I'm thinking, what? I'm not living. And He took me to the scripture, John 10:10, that says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And He told me, He said, you've accessed salvation, but you have yet to access life. And so on the deck of that ship, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I've been living all my life, 20 some odd years between the time I got saved until the time He spoke to me on that ship, and I'd never lived. You know, I'd gone to church and gone to work and fellowship with the saints, but I'd never lived. And so on that ship, He gave me the commandment to teach people to live. Now, that was a little strange to me, because first He told me I wasn't living, and then He told me to teach people to live. But if you know me, I'm like this little firebrand. You give me a job, I am on it. Like, okay, Jesus, I'm gonna teach people to live. Yes. You know, so I got back to Dallas, and I got my sisters and my friends, And we started this group called the B Club, and we started doing everything, y'all. Everything from whether it was cultural, we would go to the symphony orchestra, we'd go to ballets, we'd go to museums, and we'd do some daring things too. You know, we'd zip line through the forest, we let somebody drop us from 9 stories high into a net. They called it the free fall. It wasn't free, and I won't fall for it again. But it was an experience. And so we did everything that we could think of, polo matches, I mean, just everything. And now, don't get me wrong, we were having fun. We were having big fun. So you can imagine on my surprise, November 2011, almost 8 years after he told me to do that, because it was November 2003 on the ship. And I'm laying on my bed, and I'm looking up at the ceiling, and I'm praying because I'm getting ready to do a workshop. And he whispers in my spirit, "You're still not living." And I'm thinking, Jesus, okay, I don't know what you want. I talk to God like this because it's a part of my personality. It's who I am. So we have these kind of conversations. Like, what do you want? You know, I thought I did everything you told me to do. What? And he just whispered, "You can't start living until you start believing." And in that moment, I understood what he meant when he spoke to me on that ship in 2003. He wasn't telling me I wasn't doing things. He wasn't telling me my life wasn't active. He was telling me I had stopped believing him. I had stopped believing what he could do for me, what he had called me to be. And so to me, the number one thing that stops dreamers from living their dreams is because they don't believe they can do it. God has given them a big dream, and they look at the dream and they think, "Are you kidding me? Me? You think I can do this?" And so we do what most people do. You may do what I did. I took that big dream God gave me and I buried it. I said, "Okay, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm just going to dig some dirt, put this dream in it, cover it up," because I couldn't stand seeing what I couldn't have, or what I thought I couldn't have. But November 2011, something awakened in me that hadn't been before. When God awakened my belief system that anything was possible with him, it just took all barriers off. I knew I could do anything, be anything that he called me to be, because he'd already anointed and called it so. And so when I took the barriers off, it just seems like my mind clicked and my life opened up. And it was almost amazing because I didn't say anything. It's just my heart changed and my heart opened. And then God started opening doors that I didn't even ask him to open. People that I had been sending, you know, when you're a speaker, they tell you to send these one sheets out and tell people, you know, what you talk about and, you know, what your specialty is. And I've been sending one sheets for a year. Crickets. Nothing. Nobody's calling. Nobody's emailing. I'm thinking, well, Jesus, they said this is how you do this. Why am I not getting a response if this is what you call me to do? But when I put it aside and put it in Jesus' hands, people start emailing. "Hey, can you speak at so-and-so?" People start calling, and I'm thinking, the opening of my heart opened up my life. And so what I'm going to share with you in these next few moments will help you push past fear, push past everybody's opinion, so that you can live God's big dream for you. And it's what I call the 4 steps to resurrect your dream. Yeah, I know you got it buried. I know you've hidden it somewhere. But just like a dream for God, no matter where you bury it, no matter how deep in the earth you place it, no matter how far away from yourself you try to distance it, it's something that always churns in your mind. And when you see somebody doing what God has called you to do, it just kind of grates on you like, "Oh, I sure would love to do that." And then you kind of press it down again. Okay, I'm not going to try to risk anything. But God sent you here today, and I prayed for the right people to be here. Not any more, not any less, but the right people that are ready to grab hold of the dream that God has placed on the inside of you. Because y'all, we got people to touch. They are waiting for the manifestations of the sons and daughters of Christ. And we are ready to stand for the challenge. And so the first thing that you have to do is you have to submit your big dream to God so that you can receive his best dream for you. Submit your dream to God so that you can receive his best for you. Now, sometimes this is hard because it's hard to see that God would have a bigger plan than you. And even though that sounds ridiculous when you hear me say it, our actions show so much different. Sometimes we think we have great big plans, we have great big ideas, and God's trying to tap on us. No, not that. I'm like, well, Jesus, this is gonna work. This is good right here. And he's saying, no, I got better. But sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that the God, the creator of the universe, his idea could actually be better than ours. How about that? But I'm going to reference Jesus in Gethsemane when he was crying before God. If you can take this cup, please do it. Three times he went before God, all man, but all God. I love people too, Lord, but if you can make me not have to do this and we can redeem them some other kind of way, let's think about it. You know, and sometimes that's just like us. We're like, well, God, I know you're saying this, but if I could do it this way, then maybe that'll be better. We're always trying to come up with a different way. And I don't know if you all remember the show Let's Make a Deal. I know I'm telling my age because I remember when it first came on, when it was first showing, not the new Let's Make a Deal they have now. And the host would come out and he'd give the contestant a prize. He said, you can have this prize right here, but there is another prize behind curtain number one. And so you have to decide whether you'll take this, and let's say it's a cruise to Italy or wherever you like to go. I like the Mediterranean, you know, wherever you like to go, or this curtain. Now, sometimes it'd be worth the trade because it could be a $30,000, $40,000 car. But sometimes it wasn't. It was a box of soap, a rubber duck. So you always had to kind of gamble to see if the deal was going to be good. But this is God we're talking about. I like a phrase that Oprah says is, God can always dream a better dream than you can dream yourself. So we can rest assured that whatever dream God has for us, it's bigger, it's better, and it is going to be lasting. It won't be for a season, it'll be for a lifetime. So we have to be willing to lay aside our plans, how great or grand they may be, so that we can receive God's plan. And the second thing we'll have to do is obey all of God's directions, no matter how it hurts, and no matter how it seems like it's not the right way. And we can reference Jesus on this too. After they had grabbed him in Gethsemane, took him before high priest, after they spat on him, after his best friend denied him, after they put crowns on his head. Now this is Jesus, who could have called 10,000 angels by his side, who could have just gotten down off the cross and said, you know, I changed my mind. Sometimes obeying Christ and obeying God's directions seems almost antithetical to what we want to do. It seems like we're taking a step back sometimes. Because I remember when God first gave me the directive to start becoming engaged in a prize, is teaching people how to live, to believe him. I was going in a great direction. I was doing exactly what he told me to do. But then there were people that said, well, you know what? You're having fun doing that, but you're not monetizing that. And so let me teach you a way to do what you like to do, but monetize it. And so it started morphing into different things. And it wasn't fun for me anymore. I wasn't enjoying it. And it still wasn't fruitful monetarily. And so I took my ear off of God and I started listening to other people doing what they said. I said, okay, what they said, you know, I can still do what God said, you know, for me to do, but then I can make some money so this could be my livelihood. And I have no problem with what God, you know, told you to do being your livelihood, but you just still have to do it how he says to do it. And so I found myself going so much further from my center that our mission wasn't being accomplished anymore. And so this is the same thing. You have to be careful who you listen to when you are trying to accomplish God's dream. And it doesn't mean that they are mean-spirited. It doesn't mean that they are bad people. They just don't know what God called you to do. And you are the steward of this gift. You are the steward of this dream. So you've got to drive it because you have the ear of the Father who's telling you what to do with it. So you have to be careful to do exactly what he said, how he said it, because the fruits of it will always be better on the other end. So you, if you do it God, I'd say it like this. You can do it God's way or do it your own way and have headaches. Or you can do it God's way and have nothing but reward. The choice really is yours because this is his big dream for you. You have to be careful who you listen to, whose directives you're following when you're doing it. And this third thing is perhaps the most pivotal one, and it's actually the hardest thing to do, and that is investing in your dream. Invest in your dream. Now, imagine with me, Jesus is on the cross. He has been beaten. He has been forsaken. He has been mocked. And he's breathing his last breath and giving up the ghost. That's an investment. And sometimes the scary thing about investments is if they seem like they take you under before they ever take you over. And so God is looking at all of humanity, and he's got this son, this one life on the cross. But he's not just looking at this son, this one life on the cross. He's looking at these billions of lives throughout the ages. And so sometimes we see this one investment, whether it is time, whether it is money, whether it is resources, and we think, God, can I do this? But you have to look past the momentary displeasure and look forward beyond to the eternal pleasure. Because investments are seeds that we give to our future. And I like to tell people, you either have two choices. It's one way or the other. You either invest in your dream, or you'll spend your life investing in someone else's. So either you take the time to do what God has called you to do, the energy, the effort, or you use all your time doing what others want you to do. Because an investment in your dream is not just you, it's everybody around you. God has called you to impact the earth. And I'd also like to say, an investment won't just cause you or cost you anything. It's gonna cost you everything. And that's been one of the hardest things, and I think it's another thing that causes dreamers to pull back. Is because it will cost you everything to do what God has called you to do. But the rewards that you receive from it is priceless. I tell people all the time, I would do what I do right now for free because I love it. Now, people like for lights to be paid and all that, you know, they want me to actually like pay rent and stuff. But anyway, I love what I do. Because I was called to do it and I was purposed to do it. It's in my DNA. It is who I am. It's not really what I do. It's who I am. I do it when nobody's asking me to do it. Well, sometimes they don't want me to. But it's just a part of who I am. And when God has graced you and gifted you with something, it just comes naturally. You're sitting at work and you're telling people, you know, I find myself, I'm doing this temporary job and I mean, this corporate environment with all these executives, and they all hate their jobs. All of them, really. And so I find myself, I have to sometimes catch myself because I find myself, well, what do you really want to do? And I'm thinking, they gonna throw me at this job. Because all of them, they just kind of gravitate towards me because it's magnetic, because it's what I'm called to do. It's what I'm anointed to do. And I'm just talking to them, well, now, what are your giftings? What are you good at? You don't have to do this. You have a choice. You know, and these are people making beautiful money, you know, in our estimations. But money doesn't mean anything if you're not doing what you were called to do, if you don't enjoy it, if you don't get peace from it, if it's not helping other people. So the investments you make, see, they're making investments that are enriching other people, and it's tearing at their soul when they could be investing in something that is building them up and building others. Make the investment. It makes all the difference in the world. And the last thing I'm going to talk about is leverage. Now, you see, this podium that I have right here is actually really heavy. And the only reason that I could move it is because it's on wheels. That's the leverage to moving this particular podium. When Jesus was on the cross and he went to the grave, he had leverage. Now, I know you're looking at me and say, what leverage did Jesus have? He had the leverage of the Father and the Holy Spirit that resurrected him and that didn't leave him there. Like this podium would have been left there had it not had wheels, trusting on me to move it by myself. And so we have to understand that we can never accomplish God's dream alone. It's way too big. Any dream that you can accomplish by yourself is not given by God, because God is all about community. He's all about us helping one another. We are the body of Christ. You have a hand, I have a foot, somebody else got the eyes, somebody else has the ears. And when we put that all together, we can accomplish his purpose in the earth. So not only are we leveraging our relationship with God, because I tell you what, you and God are the baddest team on the planet. There is nothing that you and God cannot do. But when you couple that with the relationships that you have around you, it just exponentially, you know, magnifies everything. So I want you to think and look in your Rolodex. Look in your mental Rolodex. Who are the people that God has placed around you to help you manifest your dream? Is it family members? Is it coworkers? Is it somebody that's doing what you want to do that you need to be mentored by? Who is in your circle? Because God always puts what we need right around us. Sometimes our eyes have to be open so that we can see it. But it's always in distance. They say that, 9 degrees separation, that everything that you need in life is only like 9 people away. 6 degrees, thank you. I added 3 more people. Mm-hmm. 6 degrees of separation. So maybe you don't see the person, but the person that you know knows the person that you need to know. So you need to start talking about your dreams. Start talking about what you want to do to see if you can clue somebody in. Oh, you like that? So-and-so and so does that. Because what I find, especially in the African-American culture, is we don't talk to each other and we don't help each other. So never hold back a resource, a person, a place that can help somebody else build your dream. Because what I've learned is the more I help other people, the more people help me. The more I point you, well, you might want to talk to so-and-so-and-so. She does so-and-so-and-so, and she can help you out. And that person will come right back to me. You said you were doing such-and-such, right? I know so-and-so-and-so. And so that helps us build our community. I think they said every year, don't want to get the figure wrong. I think it's over $1 trillion goes through the African-American community. But yet we're so impoverished. That's because we can't get together. We're taking all of our money, all of our resources, and putting it other places, but we're not building our own. We got enough money to run a country, y'all. If we can just get together. You know, it kind of reminded me of the Trayvon Martin thing. When we got together, we got results, but then we kind of slowly drift away, and you know, the thing for the moment is gone. But we got to learn how to consistently leverage our resources. And so when you put all these things together, you have the S for surrendering and submitting your dream for God's big dream. You have the O for obeying everything God has called you to do. You have the I for investing in your dream, everything you have. And you have the L for leveraging your resources, leveraging your relationships. So what's that? You got soil. And every dream needs soil to grow. Every dream needs rich people involved in it. Now, I can't be soil for you, but God has anointed me to be a great cultivator. I can help you dig and dung around that gift so that it can multiply and it can be what God has called it to be. I remember being a teenager. I must have been in my mid to late teens, and there was this one preacher, this pastor that I loved his ministry. And I remember me and my sister and some friends, we went to a service that he was hosting, and I was at a point and place in my life where I knew God was stirring me, but I didn't know what it was. And so I was trying to figure out, you know, well, God, what are you calling me to do? What do you, you know, what am I supposed to do with this stirring that I feel on the inside of me? And at the end of that service, he called for all the young people. And I was so excited. I was like, oh, yes, because he had a prophetic gift as well. I was like, okay, I'm going to get direction, you know, for what I'm supposed to be doing. And so we got in this prayer line, and I walked up to him, and I said, I just need direction. I need to know what God is, you know, trying to do in my life. And he looked at me, and he said, oh, you're so-and-so's daughter. And I was like, yeah, I'm ready to get my word. Y'all like, ooh, yeah. He said, you'll be okay. I was crushed. Now, I don't take anything away from him because God didn't give him anything for me. But as a teenager looking for direction on this gift that I have on the inside of me, it hurt me because I'm thinking, who's going to tell me? Who's going to help me? I know God is calling. How am I going to do this? And so from that experience in my mid to late teens to now, God said, you got to do differently. Because there's somebody that's coming behind you that wants to know, what is this? What am I supposed to do with this? I have this big dream, and I don't know what to do with it. And so through every stage of my life, he's been setting me up so I could be a roadmap for somebody else. So they don't have to be standing there looking like, what? I got to spend 30 years figuring it out because nobody can give me a step-by-step process as to what to do with this big dream. I got to try and fall and try and fail. But it wasn't in vain, it was for you. So you don't have to try and fall and try and fail. So he gave me a step-by-step process as I looked over my life as to how to pull my dream together. And it's one of the reasons I created this summit, and it's another reason why I created what I call the Dreamers Academy, which is going to be a 4-month process to help you vet your dreams. And the first session, we're going to start in June, and it's going to go through September. It's going to be once a month for 2 hours. That first session is called Discovering the Dream, where you get to take all the mask off, where you get to take all the limits off and dream big. Dream bold. Everything that God has put in your heart, take those dreams and put them on paper and learn how to realize them. Because no one taught me how to vet a dream or to vet an idea. Because I just thought I had a big idea and I went forth to doing it. Nobody taught me how to take it and sift it like you sift flour to get the good part out. Like, what in this dream really matters? Is this a dream from God? Is this something I conjured up in my mind? Because you gotta vet what God has called you to do, because sometimes the enemy's gonna give you stuff. Sometimes you're gonna hear stuff from other people that sounds good, sounds like it's gonna work. But you need to take that dream through a process. And God has given me a process that works every time. So I can take this dream and say, okay, this is the dream I have. It's got to have these elements in it if it's from God. So I know how to filter out what's in my mind and filter in what's from God. So that's what we'll do in that first session. It's going to be big fun. Because I don't know if you like or like me, I like to daydream. I have a big, yeah. When God says that he can do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, I'm like, you bad. Because I can think of some stuff, y'all. So, and I am his daughter, so that's where I get it from. But so taking those big dreams and vetting them out so that we can come to step two, which is planning the dream. So you got this big dream. You know it's from God. You know you have the skills to tackle it. What's the plan? See, a lot of us, we, you know, dream big dreams, and then we just run out, like, let's do it. And then we wonder why it fails, because it doesn't have a foundation. So we'll learn how to plan our dreams out, you know, setting goals, setting milestones, setting things up so that there will be a foundation under the dream. So we'll learn what that is, how to put that together, how to package your dream. And then the third one will be executing the dream. This is where most people fall. They got big dreams, they got big plans, but they are inactive and they are home thinking about those big dreams and those big plans, hoping, wishing, praying somebody will do it for them and poof, it'll be there. But without execution, nothing happens. So in that third session, it's going to be executing the dream, and we're going to pull people in that'll help you with the tools that you'll need to execute the dream. Some simple things that you can do to automate processes, so that it'll free you up to be the dreamer, the dream caster, so that other people can execute and help you walk out your dream. So that's what we'll do in that third session. And the last session is what I call living the dream. And I'm gonna bring experts from the local area and maybe a few people outside of Gainesville as well that are actually living their dream. And on all levels, because sometimes it can be discouraging when people are at the height of their dreams, and you're just starting, and you're looking like, how in the world can I ever be there? So there'll be people that are living their dreams, but on a small scale, living their dreams, and they are through the roof, and living their dreams, and they're kind of in the middle. So everybody can relate to what the dreamer is. And we're going to be working in these sessions, because we're going to be vetting your dreams, planning them, and then teaching you how to execute them. And that last session is going to be the city involved, and we're going to give a few people that are in this group the opportunity to pitch their dream to the people that are in the audience, because I think it's all about connections. It's all about networking and meeting people, and you got to get your dream out there. If it's a business venture, people need to know about it. And so this is going to give an opportunity for the people that are in this course, in this class, to deliver their dream. So they can gain clients, so they can gain exposure. And I'm thinking we'll probably do it as a contest within the group, because we want you to be excellent when you go forth and your pitch to be tight, so that when you reel them in, it will be financially beneficial to you, to your business, to your career, or whatever you're doing. Because a lot of times when people say big dreams, they think it has to be that I'm gonna be a millionaire, a billionaire, or whatever. Whatever dream God's given you, never let anybody discount your dream. I don't care what level it's on or where it is. Do the dream that God has given in you. Don't let anybody minimize your dream or discount your dream or tell you you should have a different dream. God has given you the dream. God has given you the goal, the vision, and the purpose that uniquely fits who you are. I'm a talker. It fits who I am. My sisters will tell you, I can talk your ear off with nothing and not even be thinking about, like, oh, you want to talk too? Okay. So he gave me what fits me perfectly. And so never let anybody discount you, because when it's a God dream, you have everything on the inside of you to accomplish what he's called you to do. If it's to teach young people, you have a magnetism for youth like nobody else has, and they love you like they love nobody else. Like my sister Leslie, young people just love her. They can be total strangers, but there's something in her that a child will see and love because they feel it emanating from her. Me, not so much. I'm gonna fund her dream. But learn what God has uniquely gifted and called you to do, and do that. And like I said, the sessions will begin in June. And we'll do one in June. There'll be one in July. And I have all of the dates for you. And I'll just tell you, sister, right here. June the 9th will be the first one. And that's going to be discovering the dream. July the 7th is the second. And it's going to be planning the dream. August 4th is the third one, and it's executing the dream. And September 8th is the last one. That's the one with the panel, and that's living the dream. I want to leave you with this. There have been so many times in my life where I have walked less than I was called to be, where I have allowed the thoughts and the opinions of other people, I have let them define me. I made a decision several years ago that I would never cower down to the person God had created me to be, no matter who liked it, no matter who didn't like it, no matter who it upset, no matter who it offended, no matter who said that, oh, she thinks she's all of that, or no matter who people thought I was, no matter if they thought I was arrogant, but I'm confident in the God that has called me to do what he's called me to do. And so I would rather disappoint you than ever disappoint him. I would rather walk as his princess than ever walk as your plank. I won't allow the opinions of other people to step on the gift of God on the inside of me. And my prayer for you today is that you stand up in who God created, gifted, and called you to be. That you would never let what a person thinks define who you are. That when you walk into the room, that you own the room and don't feel bad about it. Oh, yes. Amen. Amen. Because other people don't feel bad about it when they are doing it. And so God is looking for shining lights to walk in, not with arrogance, but knowing the God we serve owns everything and I have a right to it. And that I'm taking everything that he has given me without excuse, without bowing down, and without explanation. This is who God called me to be. This is what he called me to do. And I hope you love it. But if you don't, I'm okay. God bless you. Thank you so much.
We hope you've enjoyed the Dreamer Summit, all of the information that was compiled with you in mind. And we know that you're ready to sign up now to be a part of the Dreamers Academy, the 4-month-long coaching program that will usher you from your dreams to your reality. The 4 pivotal keys that you'll need to know, that you'll need to garner around your dream to make it happen. The first being discovering what that great dream is that God gave you. I know you're ready to go forth in it. The second being planning that dream. You discover the dream, you know where God wants to take you, but now you have to plan the dream, to put deliverables down, to get everything together so that you can do the third thing, which is execute the dream, where you can put feet to your vision, put feet to your dream so that you're not only dreaming about it, you are living in it. And the last session, the forum of experts that will be there to help you, to give you advice, to give you encouragement, and to give you suggestions to take your business, your career to the next level. I hope you will join us. Our first session is on June the 9th, 2012, so you don't have a lot of time. So I need you to go to the website, www.becomingengaged.com, and register as soon as you can. Spots are filling up, but I do so want you to be in the room. Again, www.becomingengaged.com. Register today.